And welcome back, everybody, for another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 314. Continuing our positional previews for the 2026 fantasy baseball season tonight. Starting pitching part dos. Depends on where you're at in these days. ADP 31 through 60 is where we'll be heading tonight. We'll get to that, a little bit of news, and, you know, our usual witty banter, as always. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
We're good. We're feeling better than Tuesday, so that's a bonus. I'm just busy, man. Like, our two shows this week. I was on the RotoWire podcast on Wednesday with Eric Halterman. We've got PitchCon tomorrow, which you'll pub in just a second. Going on a best ball live stream Friday night with our good friend Spencer Thurmond. We've got Beat the Bloom, Beat Bubba, NFBC leagues coming up next week. So it's full bore. You're doing all your team preview stuff on top of everything else you do. It is that time. Buckle up. Let's have some fun.
Yep, I love it. I enjoy you when you told me your schedule for the week. I'm like, welcome to the party.
Yeah, I get a taste of what it's like to be Bubba. And I would say it's actually semi-exhilarating. I'll give you credit.
That's why I enjoy it. Like, the actual during the recording process is actually a lot of fun. Scheduling everything and all that, not as much, but it's like the old, you know, they say when you're between the lines, when you're playing the game, it's the best part. Yeah, it's awesome. Like, I thoroughly enjoy it. That's why I do it. Trust me, 30 teams in like a 6-week span, it's a lot. But in the moment, because you've seen my schedule, I'll do like 4 in one day.
And then all your things in the stream yard, and then like you're in there all day doing 4 of them. I'm like, good Lord.
But it's great. It's a lot of fun.
You're almost there.
The NL Central next week. So we are moving right along. Actually recorded one today. They'll drop on Friday with Sarah Sanchez talking Chicago Cubs. So you'll get that coming your way also. But before we get to news, notes, and more, Ryan hinted at it at the top. PitchCon started on Thursday. Obviously, we're recording this Thursday night. I saw a tweet from Nick. The goal is $10,000 for ALS research. They finished day one at $5,000. So if you listen to this on Friday or Saturday or Sunday even, donate. Donate to PitchCon to help with the ALS foundations. It's a very, very good cause, great cause, and a lot of money goes that direction. Ryan and I will be on our panel on Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern, happy hour, as Ryan coined it, and rightfully so. I think Nick might frown if we show up with high noons, but still. And we'll be doing a Bubba and the Bloom live, essentially, like we did last year.
Yeah, we're going to do a hitting roadmap episode to kind of tie all of these position previews that we've been doing so far into one kind of quick hit show for every position. So it'll be fun. But yeah, most importantly, donate if you're able to ALS research. All of that money goes straight to ALS research. It does not go into pitcher list. So super appreciative of Nick Pollock for being so generous with his time and setting this all up for that. So and some really good panels so far. I've checked out a few on Thursday. There's a couple good ones, so more than a couple good ones set for Friday, and not counting ourselves, of course, and then over the weekend too. So there's a lot of good stuff over at Pitcherlist, pitcherlist.com/pitchcon or twitch.tv/pitcherlist. I almost commented, I was on the Twitch today and listening to Twitch. One of the panels I was on the Twitch, and I almost commented, and then I saw my username and I couldn't. It's that Ryan B CFB. Yeah. Remember you were on with
Enrico? I was on Fantasy Pros. I was on Fantasy Pros, and it popped up, and it was me and Enrico. I started laughing, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's your co-host on like Wednesday's show, Joe. He's like, oh, that's who it is. Well, pretty sure that's who that is.
Yeah. So the Ryan B _ CFB is for my nobody cares about this, but my NCAA dynasty. Sometimes we stream our games, so.
He just won a massive game. Ryan was streaming on Twitch with somebody else on like their channel, and Ryan went into their turf and won. So big deal. Big deal. Yeah. You know, 40 years old, and he's streaming college football Twitch.
You don't need to. The good thing was I actually know the guy I was playing, and he's about my age too. So it's not like I'm playing like a 19-year-old kid or something. I probably have.
You're not like, one of those, you're not like one of those guys playing Call of Duty, and there's a bunch of high schoolers on there. Yeah.
It's a tough scene, but that's okay.
I'm just jealous. I wish I could. I used to love playing video games. It's been years since I could pull it off. But yeah, go check it out. PitchCon, it's great, and a lot of great panels. Like Ryan said, I always make it up later when they throw it out to a podcast so I can listen to it while I'm working. There's a lot of good stuff I'm looking forward to. Like, one I'm really curious about, it's the Hour Before Hours. It's a new podcast the Pitcherless is coming out with. I totally skipped the name of it off the top of my head.
Approach Angle.
It's Kyle Bland and Nate Schwartz. And I've had both of them on my show multiple times now. Really brilliant minds in fantasy. So I'm curious to see where that show is going to go. And that could be a lot of fun as well. And two youngins. So it's a different crew compared to the most, for the most part, the norm around fantasy baseball. So that'll be good as well. All right. The other thing we'll mention is, remember Baseball HQ, folks, it's ramping up. Ryan just dropped his second speculator column of the season. I was actually texting him as I was reading it, having lunch the other day. It's really cool stuff, kind of seeing him break down stuff from the forecaster so far. I've already dropped one AL West playing time tomorrow. My next one drops early next week. So that's and then it's pretty soon. That'll be a weekly occurrence as well. And if you want to try out Baseball HQ, if you're new to it, you can check out the draft prep subscription, which is basically once you sign up through April. So you get all of draft season plus the first month of the season, and you can get a whopping $10 off if you use promo code BUBBA26. That's BUBBA26, BUBBA26. What else can they get with that, Ryan?
I'm just happy you didn't make me say it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm nice once in a while. I already buried you for playing video games, so I'll be nice.
Yeah, you already buried a 40-year-old man playing online video games. If you're interested in Baseball HQ, we've kind of done this the last few shows, but I just think it's a really good opportunity to kind of get your feet wet there and check out what they have to offer with the tools, projections, and the content that is out there. Pretty much going full-time with probably 4 to 5 articles every day starting next week. So draft prep sub, Baseball HQ, BUBBA26. I'll say the promo code BUBBA26 will get you $10 off. Tell them we sent you.
Rolls
I guess they'll it's know if they use the promo code.
They will know if they use the promo code. That is correct. But yeah, just tell them that we sent you just for fun.
Tell them Bubba sent you.
They'll know by the code. So they got that going for them. All right.
That's your house. Codes.
There you go. That's the housekeeping for today. We got a couple minor, and I really want to say minor, moves over the last 48 hours since we last talked to you on this show. First one, Edward Julian traded to the Rockies from the Twins for a prospect. Nothing too crazy. Going back to Minnesota, Edward Julian goes to Colorado. Should play a lot of first base, you'd think, or could play second base. It doesn't do a ton for me, Ryan, but I figured I'd throw it out there and see if you have anything to say about it.
I mean, it is a guy who has been good in spurts before in a park that is obviously really good, despite Edward Julian's strikeout issues. It is someone who is first base and second base eligible. This is all under the context of draft and holds. And I think it's someone who's going to at least play as a strong side platooner. So just by definition, Edward Julian, right? He's not that good, but given all that context, like, this is someone at least worth looking at in draft and holds. And per the ADP tracker, a few recent drafts that are still in progress on Julian, 463, 471. So he's going kind of the late 400s, where previously was barely even being drafted at all in those 750 pick leagues. So relevant in draft and holds. That's it's about the best I can come up with.
That is probably the correct answer to come up with. The other move that took place today, trade between the Giants and the Astros. Kai Wei Tang. Now there's more than one Tang in Houston, and I'm talking about the drink because Houston has the astronaut base.
Wow. Tang.
Yes, I want to clarify that real quick before people think that the wrong way. But that's the first thing I actually thought of was the drink Tang, the T-A-N-G that they drink there. But,
what are you even talking about?
Tang? You don't know the drink Tang?
I thought you were talking about like Tang because they used to be Minute Maid Park.
No, Tang. It's a powdery orange drink that they use for astronauts because they can make it and stays. Yeah, check it out.
I am. I'm Googling Tang.
It's a legit thing.
You are correct. Invented
I
in
know.
1957 by William Mitchell and famously used by NASA. How do you know this stuff?
I'm full of useless stuff. This is what I'm here
And
for.
somehow you equated that to Houston, which I get the NASA connection. Wow, man.
Yeah.
That's
Houston, we have a problem.
that's pretty good. That's pretty
See,
good.
MGC here. Tang, the drink of astronauts.
Hey,
See?
Once again, we've gone
we're
from
teaching.
biblical Bible
Yeah.
stories with Bubba to now
Scott
beverages
Burns,
with
how could you be
Bubba.
40 and not heard of Tang?
I think I've heard of it. I just didn't know it was like an astronaut drink. I mean, the
It
hell.
was sold commercially in the 80s, maybe longer. We're going to keep going with this. This is good. But back to the transaction that took place on Thursday. Kaiwei Tang of the Giants, who I actually liked. We talked him up earlier in
Yeah.
the preseason. I liked him for draft and holds. He had the moments if he had any type of control, had actually decent starts. I liked him in DCs. Now he's at best a depth piece, maybe a long man, because they have a lot of options in Houston for now. So he'll probably get his chances, but it seems a little tougher at this point in time. Prospect goes back to the Giants, that a catching prospect will go back to the minors, and we'll see where that lands from there. But Tang is in Houston, and hopefully this means because they had to clear a 40-man spot for Bader, so that's part of it as well.
Okay.
But hopefully this means the rumors of Framber Valdez is true. But Woody likes says I'm from Canada and I've heard of Tang, so
Jesus.
yeah.
All
Well,
the chats
the chat
comments
was
are about
quiet.
Tang. We've
The
got
chat was
Amazon
quiet.
prices for Tang in the chat here. Maybe I'll buy some.
Now I know what to bring to FPAS.
Screw it.
Adam, come on, dude. Public school lunch room challenge is just eating the dry mix.
Oh. All right. Well.
Instead of a beer mat, we're having Tang.
Snorting Tang at in Vegas.
Yeah, in Vegas, 3 in the morning, blackjack table. Sir, what are you doing at the table? It's just Tang, I promise. All right. Anything else for Tang in the trade to Houston?
I mean, this made no. So your because I was curious your point. I mean, from a real baseball, just from a Giants fan perspective, I was like, why the hell would the Giants do this?
40 minute.
They don't have the pitching depth that the Astros. The Astros have like 9 starting pitchers, and they just added a 10th. And like the Giants need pitching depth, and they traded away Tang. So it didn't. I don't know. That didn't make sense.
Well, to me, it's either they are signing Framber or. They do have a young, like a like 5 young arms. Like, is Birdsong getting another chance? Is it McDonald's?
Yeah.
Is it like they have a ton of these? Does Wisenhunt get longer run? Like, there's a lot of that kind of question as well. So,
I guess. I don't know.
no,
For the
I like
Astros too, like it's just that they have so many pitchers. I don't know.
yeah.
I'm bitter because I did take Tang quite frequently late in draft and hold. I really like the strikeout upside.
Yep, me too. I have a fair share of Tang, so we'll see where that goes.
Jesus.
All right. SP part two,
That was
31
like
through
the
60.
worst news segment we've ever done. A, it was Edward Julian and Tang, and then we started talking about
Hey,
snorting Tang.
there wasn't any good news for the last 2 days. We made it entertaining for like 4 minutes. So you're welcome.
Yes.
This is why we are never going to win an FSWA award. All right, 31 through 60, part two, Ryan. What are we looking at here for those that are new to the previews this late in the game?
All right, yeah. So this is all by ADP over the last month on the NFBC, and then we've got our projections color coded for ERA, WHIP, and strikeouts. 30 of them, right? So yeah, this is ADP 31 through 60. Left side's 15, and then the right side's the next 15. Just kind of like to level set. At least in a 15-team brain, where how many starting pitchers the market is taking at each point. So essentially, your SP3 is these top 15 guys and 15 teamers from Sonny Gray at ADP 117 down to Treya Savage at basically 150. So in general, the NFBC, you're taking 3 starting pitchers in your first 150 picks, and then you're taking your 4th starting pitcher by pick 200. That's basically where we round this thing out with a couple of names Aaron Nola and Carlos Rodon at ADP 201, 202. So it's something that I like to just kind of generally see how often is the market, you know, how quickly are they loading up on their SP 3 and 4? And the answer so far in draft season is pick 150 for your SP 3 and then your SP 4 by pick 200. Again, of course, you want to analyze your draft. And that's part of what we're doing with these episodes, is kind of seeing which pockets we like and we don't. So you don't need to follow that to a T, but I think it's good to have a good kind of back envelope idea of how many starting pitchers you should have at different stages in the draft.
Yeah, the DC we're in right now, I did not follow that protocol. So
no, wasn't not
by,
at all.
Wasn't by choice as much as, I guess it always is by choice, but
it's always by choice.
My top three were in the top 150, but that fourth one kind of slipped through the cracks there after a while. But all right, let's do it. We're doing pockets of five as usual here. And I like, even though it's a rather red board, I guess what do you notice on this board is what we usually do, but
yeah,
it's like a rather pinkish red, like we're transitioning to the bad pitching is what it comes down to.
Yes, and this is actually a really this kind of resurfaces a point made by Mark S, one of our Discord subscribers who just started his own podcast, FBGT, Fantasy Baseball Game Theory. Highly recommend you check this out. He went through the whole player pool and kind of looked at which stats are more scarce later in the draft. And one of the major takeaways, I want to steal all of his thunder because I, again, check it out. It's really good stuff, and it's in bite-sized pieces, like 30, 45-minute episodes. One of the biggest takeaways that I had was how quickly ratios can dry up. And again, projecting pitching ratios is very difficult. There's a lot of variance in these numbers, but I think just looking at the ERA and WHIP columns for this kind of group of starting pitchers, you can see, the quality of pitcher, the projection of those ratios goes downhill pretty quickly, especially once you get past like pick 140. And to me, like that kind of aligns with different spots in the draft. Like I love like a lot of the top 10 on this group from pick like 120 to 150. After that, it starts to, at least for me, just looking at these individual players, it's not as many guys that I'm a fan of after that. So that's all kind of coming together to me, is that, ratios start to unravel very quickly. And then obviously strikeouts do as well. So again, as you go later in the draft, these guys aren't as good, you know, breaking news.
Yep. No, that's why it checks out. So ratios should go down, barring the guys that have their breakout seasons, just like batting average will deteriorate the farther down the draft board you go as well. But strikeouts, you can still find them. You can get 150 or more, which isn't bad, because in reality, a lot of these guys that are projected for like say 150 or more, it's almost still close to a K per nine, because most of these guys aren't going deep into games either. That's why they're farther down here. There's a few innings eaters, but not as many as you go down the draft board as well. Like, we love Nate the Great, but what's he going to get us, 140, 150 innings on the board? Like, there's a lot of these guys that aren't workhorses, is the best way I'll put it. So, yep. So something else to keep in mind. So your good ratios with less innings, we know how that still is good, but not as valuable as those beasts at the top. So again, plan accordingly when you want to draft now three starting pitchers, two outfielders, two shortstops, two closers in the first 10 rounds. All right, that's just a running joke around here. Let's do the top five in this one, 31 through 35. We got ADP 117 through 137. So in part one, a lot of the pockets were like literally almost 10-pick increments. Now this one's a 20-pick increment. So this, like, just keep track of that. Now we'll have some future ones where it's tighter, but you have some windows throughout this compared to the first one. Sonny Gray, Tyler Glasnow, Emmett Sheehan. Emmett Sheehan might have more value now with Blake Snell's boo-boo. Nick Lodolo and Ryan Pepiot. Like, I like this range a lot.
Yes.
Like, outside of Glasnow, which you guys should all know, I'm usually never going to Glasnow because it's more Glasswin, not Glasnow. So what do you like in this range besides your boy Nick Lodolo? And don't shake your head. That was actually pretty. That was pretty good.
Made of Glasnow is what, you know, it used to be the nickname. That was good.
He's the Baron Davis of baseball. For those basketball fans out there.
Yeah. I'm gonna cut straight to the chase. Nick Lodolo is
it's your boy.
I just love the guy. I just drafted him yesterday in the draft that we're in. I have a ton of Nick Lodolo shares. I think he's like the perfect SP3. I think this is someone who is 28 years old, just got to 157 innings. Injuries have been an issue for Lodolo throughout his career. I think the interesting thing, though, is the last three seasons, it's been calf, leg, groin, finger, and blister. Really nothing shoulder slash elbow related, and has not been worked hard. Like, I think this is, and it is at peak age. Like, I think Nick Lodolo has just as good of a shot to get to like 160, 170 innings as a lot of these guys with other recent arm injuries. So on top of that, it's just the skills, right? It's a 13% swing strike rate. It's a K to walk that's almost 20%, which is absolutely golden. You don't love the park, but you know, can't be perfect. The homer to fly ball rate for Lodolo has been pretty much league average last couple years, so the park hasn't hurt him that bad. And I just think this is a guy who's an SP3 who could be a top end SP2. All he kind of needs to do is stay healthy and basically pitch the way he's been pitching, at least the way he pitched in 2025. There was some big walk rate improvements. It was supported by the ball rate. Everything to me, like, I don't see any reason not to draft Nick Lodolo here. I think the 4.10 ERA projection that's shown on this list, I am taking the firm under on.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's might take the under on the whip too, but definitely the ERA if you want to. I think he's very good. Very good. No problems with Lodolo. For me, Sonny Gray, that's the guy I've talked about many, many times.
Yeah.
He's basically a Dylan Cease type to me, but better. Like, he's actually he's had better ratios more often than or maybe not down to the low numbers, but very sustainable ratios is what I should say. Last year, the numbers look a little skewed, but overall, he was actually really, really good. And the strikeouts continue to be great for him. Like, he's actually had two straight years over 200 strikeouts, which has been awesome. He's going to be 36 there this year, so maybe that's like the only deterrent some could have. Like, I understand that. Going to Boston as well could maybe kind of do something for you there. I just love Gray. He's a veteran. He's a grinder. He knows how to pitch, and now he knows how to pitch and strike guys out. So I like everything about that. And then I will just throw a kind of the opposite spectrum there just because of the age spectrum. But a guy I drafted is instead of Lodolo, and I like Lodolo a lot. I just wanted to mix it up a little bit. I got Ryan Pepiot. Okay. I'm a gigantic Ryan Pepiot fan. For one, going back to the Trop isn't going to suck, but we were excited when he came from the Dodgers. First year at Tampa Bay, he looked great in 130 innings. Last year, through 167, and nearly had the same ERA in a different ballpark. Strikeouts are still very, very good. He's about a K per inning guy. The walks could use, like, if he ever got the walks down, he's like a 9% walk guy. He could be really filthy. Like, I love what Ryan Pepiot can do. He's fully stretched out on, like, most guys with the Marlins, I mean, with the Rays. So they should let him, like, go because they'll need him to put innings together. And I think there's a ton to like with going back to that ballpark with his skill set. And the innings should be there in plenty for Ryan Pepiot. So I think he's on the brink of having maybe taking another step or basically being another Sonny Gray, really. I mean, like, there's a lot of similarities to that kind of situation.
Or, I mean, if Pepiot just does what he did last year, basically 170 innings of here. 116 whip, 386 ERA, that works. And there's reason to believe. I mean, you mentioned the park change. I'm looking at Pepio's Baseball Forecaster write-up. It's a really good point in here. He allowed of his 26 home runs allowed last year, 19 of them were in Steinbrenner Field. So the park, it's a major park upgrade. And Pepiot, like Lodolo, yeah, he is a fly ball pitcher, 42% fly ball rate last year. But, I mean, the big thing I was going to add, too, is Pepiot, like Lodolo, is showed in 2025 he can handle that bigger workload, right? Getting to 170 innings. He had not gone over 130 in any of the previous five seasons. So I think if we're kind of wrapping up this group of five, I think Gray and Lodolo for me are like priorities, and I'm okay getting Ryan Pepiot. How it's interesting to me seeing Glasnow and Sheehan right together. I have not drafted either one. I don't know if I will. Do you have a preference between either of those two?
Like Sheehan, if I really want to. I know there's a lot of people really high on Sheehan. I like the skill set of Sheehan, but for me, like, if we're in this range, like, I'm with you. It's like, for me, it's probably like Gray, Pepiot, Lodolo, just because I don't know. I like Pepio's strikeout upside a little more, but Lodolo can do it. He hasn't done it yet, type thing. But yes, I have no issue there. But the Sheehan Glasnow thing, it's like, yeah, I think Sheehan's skills are great. Glasnow, I can't trust his health. the Dodgers have so many freaking pitchers. Like, until the Snell news came out, there was nowhere for Sheehan in the rotation. Like, there's going to have to be – something has to give, if that makes sense. So to what level does the give take place? And if I'm taking my SP3 and I'm inside the top 150, do I want that question mark when I have a Gray, a Lodolo, and a Pepiot sitting right there? That's just kind of why I avoid it altogether.
Yeah, if I had to pick between the two, Glasnow or Sheehan, I would definitely take Sheehan. Glasnow, we know there's going to be injuries. And I kind of mentioned this before, like, the skills weren't vintage Glasnow last year either. Like, the walk rate went way up, and I don't know. I think there's actually some skills risk there on top of the ever-present injury risk. Sheehan was, like, elite, dude, in the second half when he came back. It was 70 innings in the second half of a sub-1 whip, a sub-3 ERA I could list off every stat here, but basically full support from, like, every skill. It's just, yeah, do you believe the Dodgers are going to throw Sheehan every week as part of a six-man, or will they play games with him? That's what we don't know. But I certainly, if you want to shoot for pure ceiling, I actually think Sheehan probably has the highest ceiling of anyone in this group. It's just, what's the percentage of him getting there?
Yep, totally agree. I think Sheehan probably does. But, yeah, I need to know he's actually in that rotation. He's not going to be yo-yoed around and stuff like that.
Yep.
All right, 36 through 40, Michael King at 137, Pablo Lopez 138, Schlittler 138, The Miz at 139, and Zach Wheeler at 146. Now we got five pitchers within 9 picks of each other. So keep that in mind. But this is a range that I like, but there's a lot of question marks in here.
Interesting. Okay, so we'll have some conversation. I don't like this range at all. Like, and that's also why I'm so in on Sonny Gray and Lodolo and to a lesser extent Pepiot right before this, is like, I kind of see a little bit of a cliff at starting pitcher at like pick 140 here. So like they just, for me, three of these five, King, Pablo Lopez, and Zach Wheeler, as we're drafting in January/February now, way too much injury uncertainty for me to spend a top 150 pick on, right? With King was just a disaster last year, even though he pitched well before his whatever, my pillow, Mr. Pillow, sleeping on his neck wrong, whatever, came back, did not look good, went back to the IL with a knee. Like, I just, that doesn't, that screams risk. Pablo Lopez, we all know how much I've loved Pablo Lopez. The shoulder creeping back up and did not return at the end of last year. So like, that is at least in the majors.
Shoulder came back, then had a minor forearm and did not return.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Shoulder was out 3 months with the shoulder, came back and had mild forearm strain. You're right. Right. Like, that, something screwed up in his arm. Yep. You know, unfortunately, I love Pablo Lopez, but I'm not doing that at pick 140. And Zach Wheeler, just, I mean, we all know this story with Wheeler and the uncertainty and the thoracic outlet. Like, that is, to me, an instant stay away, even though offseason reports are positive. Thoracic outlet at this age for Zach Wheeler, I'm not doing that. So way too much injury risk for the olds in this group.
Yeah, okay, so for me, like, I've pretty much already said on most of these shows that these youngins, the Miz, the Burns, a lot of them I'm pretty much just out on. And a lot of people that do like them because there's the high upside ceiling to them, which I get. For me, I'd rather, if I'm going to try for a high upside play, it's going to be with a Pablo Lopez, who maybe it's a Brian Wu forearm situation because he's already throwing, maybe things he can work through. I don't know. It's maybes. Like, just hear me out on this. It's the maybes. If I'm going to take chances. The one I like, if I'm taking anybody in this range, though, it's going to be Zach Wheeler. Because it's one of those, he's not going to come back too early. He's working through it. They think he's ahead of schedule, whatever that means right now, on January 29th. Yeah. But like, even if he were to come back middle to end of May, that's 4 months of Zach Wheeler at ADP 146. We saw like 5 months. Was it last year or the year before? And he was still a top five pitcher. I know he wasn't coming back from thoracic outlet situation, but he was coming back from an injury just the same. So if I'm going to gamble on anybody, it's going to be Zach Wheeler in this range. The only Zach Wheeler share I think I have is in our too early draft.
It's in the meatball draft before, right?
Like, and I have a couple early Pablo Lopez's, and I've stepped back from that ledge. Otherwise, I have avoided this range. But if for the point of this show, I am intrigued by the idea of Wheeler. Like in an OC, Wheeler could be interesting if you want to go take a shot on something.
Yeah, I'm not touching him. I'm not spending a top 150 pick on someone who's probably missing 2 months and who knows after that. So
rather snort the Tang than draft some Wheeler. Got it.
Probably. I will say of this group, I like Cam Schlittler the best. I was impressed with, and not only just in ignoring what he did in the postseason, I was impressed with 150 innings last year. So I don't think workload for Schlittler, that's across minors and majors for Cam, but did so with above average swinging strike and a better than average ball rate. And that those are the metrics in smaller samples that I like to use and that are pretty predictive. And Schlittler checks both of those boxes despite a shaky walk rate on the surface. I think unlike the Miz, I think there's a decent chance Schlittler's walk rate improves in 2026. So I don't love the price on Schlittler. I'm just saying he's my favorite of this five for those reasons.
Well, I'd go even farther and say that to me, Schlittler is my favorite, probably young arm to pick this year, if you want to go that direction.
Right. Cause I mean, yeah, I think we said that on the last show. I can't remember.
Maybe. But I can't remember. Cause I do like him. Again, it's just, there are so many questions. I just kind of avoid this range because we like three guys right above them.
Yes.
And I know for a fact, we probably like at least two or three in the group right below him. So it's kind of like this range gets passed over. Plus if you pick one of the ones earlier, you're not even picking in this range by the time it comes back to you in a draft, probably. So if that makes any sense as well.
True.
It's like the flow of the draft. So like you kind of just skip this whole area to begin with. But Schlittler, I don't mind. Again, young guy, threw about 150 innings last year, so he stretched out. Yankees need pitching right now. Like they need guys to go through innings. He had his ups and downs like every rookie has. You mentioned it's the walks. Did show improvements, didn't let the big stage bother him, which I think is really good to see. Like you said, take postseason out of it. I like seeing that, though. Like, that's big to me that he went on the big stage and basically called it out and did it. That says a lot to me as a kid having to work through stuff. So, yeah, if you got to go and make Schlitt happen, I don't mind it. That's one thing. Ben and I say that a lot on the Monday show I do with him for Bench with Bubba because he's a Yankees fan. So Schlitt happens is a real thing. And you kind of talked me more into it. I could see if I had to be in this range, I don't mind Cam Schlittler. I know I have a listener question on him later, but I could see that. But again, I'm pretty much just avoiding this range.
Yep. Agreed.
All righty. 41 through 45, ADP 148 through 152 for you doing keeping track at home. That's essentially four picks for five players. Figure it out. Drew Rasmussen, ADP 148. Nate the Great won everybody leagues last year, 149. Bubba Chandler, 152. Gavin Williams, 152. Trey Yesavage, 152. I'm going to let you have the floor here because out of all the injury concerns you have given me, you're still picking Nate Eovaldi, aren't you?
I'm not. Plot twist.
Okay, good. So, good. That's what I was going
to I need to be consistent. You were ready to fire, weren't you? I can see you recoil.
Yep, I was locked and loaded.
I can't sit here and say what I just said about Michael King, Pablo Lopez, and Zach Wheeler and not apply that same logic to Nate Eovaldi. And trust me, this is I might tear up. This is tough for me to say. Nate Eovaldi has been a Bloom Boards legend for almost a decade at this point. Last year certainly helped me win some leagues. Eovaldi and Springer were on a ton of my teams, and that worked out well. So I owe many good times to one Nasty Nate, but if I'm going to sit back here and unbiased look at this profile of an age 36 starter who is coming off, was basically shut down with a strained rotator cuff in late August. And we did not see again. As of now, I cannot draft Nate Eovaldi. Now, maybe, and this applies to King, Lopez, and Wheeler as well. I didn't mention this the first time. Maybe not Wheeler, because I don't know if we'll see him in spring training. These are guys I'm going to look at in spring training. Is the velocity back? How do they, you know, those are spring training folks that I will actually look at the results and maybe change my mind on. But right now, I can't take a 36-year-old who couldn't finish the season last year with a strained rotator cuff. Like, that scares the living hell out of me, even if his name happens to be Nate Eovaldi.
I am proud of you. I really am.
Oh, it hurts, man. This is tough. Well,
I get it. I get it. The one thing I will say about, like, the Nates, the Wheelers, the Lopez, the Kings, if we do see them in spring, and like, their price will probably go up when we, if things are going well.
But yeah.
But let's, like, I know I've said it pretty much every offseason when we redo positions, review positions. You might say it a little bit. I know other people say it. It's sometimes I need to start drafting for the guy while he's healthy. And if he gives me 60 innings, 100 innings, 120, mm-hmm. whatever, take them and then adjust. Because that's what Nate's always been good at, Nate Eovaldi. Sorry, we're on a first name basis on this show now. Sure. Nate is he's always been good at, like, certain years, even if it's like 70 innings, they're really good innings. Yes. Like, that's what he does. No, like, if it's 70, if it's 120, more often than not, they're really good innings, and he still helps you so much that you can work around that. So I do want to at least mention that point, is at this point in time, as both of us are drafting on January 29th, it doesn't work for our draft and hold brains. But if we see spring training and we're in Vegas at an auction table, and Nate Eovaldi sitting there for like $6, $7,
right,
discussions can be had.
I'd take 80 to 100 innings at that point.
That's my point. So, like, just, there's windows where this works. Like, right now, draft and hold, you take the what you know right now for the most part.
Yeah, and so that's a good point. To me too, though, there's just in the back of my mind, there's a non insignificant chance you get zero innings from some of these guys. Like, if your shoulder's screwed up, or in your forearm for Lopez, like, or you're with thoracic, like, there's actually a chance of nothing. And that's what you really, that's what Nate, can really
Nate's
screw
gonna be 36
you.
Too, which is crazy.
No, he's not a
no spring chicken.
He's no spring chicken, as they say.
All right. So then, on that somber note, would you like to give us a positive note here? Because I agree with everything. I have not drafted Nate yet, and it's very painful every draft watching, just passing by him like a something in the night. But
what do you got here? I don't know. I don't have too much on the rest of these guys. I'm actually intrigued. I didn't think I'd say this, by Bubba Chandler.
That's where I was going to go. I'm like, yeah, there's a name here that we should be very interested in.
Yeah. Like, and if I'm picking amongst my youths, I probably have Bubba Chandler second behind Schlittler, and maybe it's very close. I just think Bubba Chandler was just going through the motions last year. The minor league numbers were not great, but dude, you look at it. I know it was just 31 innings with the Pirates last year. It was a 4 ERA. So nothing on the surface, but again, I'm going to go back to these are core metrics that I use: swinging strike and ball rate. 14% swinging strike for Bubba Chandler, somewhat abbreviated outings, I understand that, and a really good ball percentage as well. So, like, Bubba Chandler, despite the walk issues in the minors, was throwing strikes at a pretty excellent rate to major league hitters, and doing so with a excellent swinging strike rate. And that's honestly all I need to see for Bubba Chandler. Last two seasons as well, 120 and 130 innings respectively. Why can't he go to 150, 160? So, surprisingly enough, I think Bubba Chandler is actually my favorite out of this group, over Gavin Williams, Yu Savage, Rasmussen, and Nate Eovaldi.
Yeah, I love Bubba Chandler in this range. It's one of those guys that he said the minor league numbers are bad. They're actually really good to start the year. And then it's like he just, like you said, going through the motions. When they just stopped, like, decided not to call him up, it looked like he just said, okay, I'm just going to get my innings in, because, no, what's the point this year? Which is not the philosophy to have. It's the old Neil Cruz. Maybe it's a Pirates thing. Who knows? New manager this year, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Maybe could be wrong.
Yes, correct.
But that might a whole philosophy change there. Not, doesn't also hurt to have a full season of schemes. Jared Jones should be back at some point in time. Like, this is their young core on the mound. Bubba Chandler is a big part of that core. So I think there's a lot to like here. The skills are undeniable. We know how good he is. So this could take a big step forward. Like, you see a projection with a whip of 130, I will take the under on that right now.
Agreed.
Like, just give me that 399. I'm probably willing to take the under on that. Like, I think he's that good. So he's one. If you give me 150 innings, I'm pumped, and I think you're going to be very happy with what you get there.
Yeah, I think a good chance to get 150, honestly.
Yep, agreed. Unless something goes horribly wrong, which at that point, hopefully you didn't stick around for all 150. I will say Gavin Williams, I always have a soft spot for Gavin. Yes, he overachieved a bit last year, but he's a guy we talked about. I can't remember if it was on a panel or on one of our shows or I wrote about him or not. It all blends together now. But he had some massive first half, second half splits, like really big improvements. He had a 2.18 ERA in the second half compared to 3.70. In the first half, he had a pitch mix change that we discussed. Maybe that's where he came into play.
Yep.
That came in a big, big way. Like his strikeout rate went from 22.6 to 27.6, 9% K to walk to an 18.4% K to walk. The walk rate actually dropped from 13.5 to 9.2. 9.2 is not good, but that is a massive improvement that does a lot to your success on the mound, going from 13.5 to 9.2. Like the changes he made, once hyped prospect, maybe figuring things out. I think Gavin Williams is a really strong upside pick in this range too. That's why, like, this is the range, right? I don't mind taking some shots if you want, because, you know, Bubba Chandler, I think, is a pretty good ceiling to this. I think Gavin Williams could take another step with where he's at. Like, he could be in that Sonny Gray to Ryan Pepiot tier this time next year, maybe slightly higher. So I don't mind those two in this range at all.
Yeah, and I think if we even go deeper into that first half, second half split for Gavin Williams, it was a new sinker that he threw a lot more in the second half, up to 15% usage in September. And Gavin Williams, the last 2 months of the season, when he was throwing that sinker a lot more than he had ever thrown, like even in the first couple months, he barely threw the sinker, really ramped it up in August and September. Those 2 months, 57 innings for Gavin Williams, 28% K rate, 18% K minus walk. It's really good. So I have not been a Gavin Williams fan for much of his career, but I think that approach change with the skills uptick late last season, I think that's something that's actionable. And problem is, like, a lot of people like Gavin Williams anyway, even when I didn't like him. So I think he's properly priced, but I think there's more skill support for that price than has been there in the past.
Yep. I agree with that. And then Rasmussen, I pretty much just pass on because the way they workloaded him, you'd hope they'd improve on it, but I don't trust it at all. Anything else on that? You good?
Rasmussen, man.
It's boring.
It's like really good boring. It's five years in a row of a sub 3 ERA and 5 years in a row of a sub 1 whip. Granted, a lot of that has been like he only threw 45 innings and 29 innings in 23 and 24. I think it was elbow surgery, probably Tommy John, but, threw 150 last year, 10 wins. So like we can be and moan about the Rays usage, and towards the end of last year, Rasmussen wasn't throwing long at all. But you got your 10 wins. I could sit here and say it's unlucky, and it probably was. Like the expected ERA was around a 3.60 for Drew Rasmussen. That's a full run higher than 2.76 ERA. But he's kind of consistently been able to outpitch his skills. It's just someone who, I don't know, if you don't have the skills to back it up, I'm not drafting you as an SP3. It's just kind of my MO there.
Fair enough. All righty, we go 46 through 50 here, right side of the screen for you watching on YouTube. ADP 154 to 170. So again, now here we have a 16 pick, basically a full round going between them. Sandy Alcantara, Robbie Ray, Tatsuya Imai, Luis Castillo, and Ranger Suarez. I am still baffled that Ranger Suarez is an ADP of 170, but that's probably another conversation for another day. What are your thoughts of this range? Because we are real, like, it took a quick shift to murkier waters to me, going from the left side to the right side.
Agreed. A lot of questions, obviously a ton of questions about Tatsuya Imai. I don't know what I'm getting, so I'm not drafting someone who I don't know what I'm getting. Sandy, even though the second half was a lot better, I think that second half version of Sandy Alcantara, once he kind of worked out the kinks coming off of TJ in the first half, I think that's the Sandy you can expect, but I don't think that's any better than an SP 3 or 4. To be honest, probably an SP 4. So I don't see much of a ceiling with Sandy. I'm gonna tout Luis Castillo. Yep. So I mean, Luis Castillo and Ranger Suarez of this group are my two picks.
Agreed.
ADP 162 and and 170. I just think with Luis Castillo, the win potential, the park is like every contextual factor behind Luis Castillo is in his favor. I know the road numbers aren't that great, so maybe you can stream a little bit here, but you don't want stream and SP4 in the same sentence usually. But quietly, Luis Castillo last season, the second half last year, Bubba, 20% K to walk, major uptick in swinging strikes. Like he was a lot better in the second half. I'm not expecting a high ceiling or anything, but if you can kind of bank on 180 innings, decent wins on a good team and a good park, I like that for Luis Castillo.
Would it surprise you if I said I'm actually interested in Luis Castillo this season?
Somewhat. Yeah. I mean, that's the type of pitcher that the entire Discord would bag me on. Actually, that pitcher's coming up soon, but Luis Castillo is that. So why are you in on Castillo? Yeah. I mean, do you have anything to add? Or
it's more, as I've said it so many times on my shows, it's that boring is beautiful philosophy. I've accepted it fully as my brain is transitioning to more of like an auction 15 team mindset. Like a player like Castillo, especially at his price, does a lot for your roster. Like does a lot for it.
I mean, so, projected 3.95 ERA the last 4 years is 3.54, 3.64, 3.34, 2.99. Like taking the under.
He's close to a K per inning, if not better. Like the whip's always the roller coaster, but he's improved on that since he went to Seattle. Like, yeah, no, I get it all. It's a very appealing. Especially if you keep going down the list, we're about to start going down. It's a very appealing profile to look at. Then Ranger, I love. Like Ranger feels like he, it's
Ron Hur
Suarez. I apologize, but he said he's fine with Ranger. So thank you for the blessing on that one, because people know me and my pronunciations. Let's just cut to the chase on this one, but. With Ranger, he's another one of those guys. Like he's good for 150 to 160 innings, three out of the last four seasons. In those three seasons, 3.65 or below ERA. Like he's had really good ratios in that regard, close to a K per inning, which is all I'm looking for, especially as the draft goes on, because you're going to see a lot of depleted strikeouts pretty soon. And it's the whip's been the killer. Like it's a Castillo-esque type situation, but it feels like he goes through stretches. Castillo's more just like a full season of calmness for the most part. Ranger goes through sometimes a 5 to 10 game stretch where he's just like going for a Cy Young.
Yes.
He can carry your team. And so it's still tough to stream in that regard, but he'll have runs where you're just like, whoa. And it always gives me that question, like if you draft him, is there that one season where he like puts it together? And that's where I'm always interested in drafting Ranger Suarez, basically. So like great analytics there, I know, but it's one of those things, like when we're getting to this point of the draft, you want some good floor still, but you're also looking for upside almost at this point. And I think Ranger has that upside. I just haven't seen it for a full season, so I'm trying to get out.
The last thing I'll add with Ranger Suarez is we talked a little bit about projecting wins on last episode, and I mentioned that this is a part of my process. I try to project wins as hard as I do ERA and WHIP. Ranger Suarez, so one of the nice metrics in the Baseball Forecaster, we've gotten one of those columns, is average pitch count. Ranger Suarez averaged 94 pitches per start last year. Goes deep and has won 12 games each of the last two seasons because of that. And 12 games in this environment for starting pitching, especially when you factor in the missed time for Ranger Suarez, like hasn't gotten 160 innings each of those last two seasons, yet has 12 wins. This is someone who I think you need to bump up a win projection for, because he does have that innate ability to pitch deep into games. And shocker, the deeper you pitch into a game, the better chance you have for a win. So I think the elevated win totals for Ranger Suarez, I don't think that's a fluke.
Well, here's the other kind of lazy man way, the caveman way. I'll do it.
There we go.
I compare you. Four straight seasons of at least 11 quality starts. So he's got at least six innings that many times. Last year he had 17 quality starts. So to kind of back up your kind of win potential based on like pitches per start, it kind of goes hand in hand. Cause I like a lot of quality starts for like say underdog and stuff like that. Ranger Suarez always hits that list. So like 17 quality starts, folks, in 28 or 26 total starts.
And a lot of listeners play in ridiculous quality start leagues. If you play best ball, like I'm doing underdog drafts tomorrow night, quality starts is actually a major component to their point system. So
Rangers pick for that. So something else to think about. All right, let's go 51 through 55, ADP 171 through 187. The number two overall pitcher in the player raters for the second half of the season. Ryan finally got to breathe when this guy's name came on the air for a while.
Yeah.
Trevor Rogers at ADP 171. Tanner Bibee at 174. Shota Imanaga at 174. Edward Cabrera at 186 and Shane Bieber at 187. Like, honestly, there's four pitchers I don't mind taking in this pocket here.
Including the one who I have the most shares of on any of my teams is Shota. I've got him on.
That's your guy. Yeah.
I've got him on six of my nine teams, which is not probably not good.
Let's hope he figures it out. That's called diversification, everybody.
Yeah. But, dude, as an SP4, like, I just think Shota, I think this is a pure whip play. This is anti-team whip. This is Shota.
That's
for
why
some
I'm not
reason.
Familiar with it.
Exactly. That's why you barely even know who Shota is. But
which is weird. I had so many shares year one. I guess.
I know. I'm just giving you.
No, I know. No, it's fair. It's totally fair. I deserve all of it.
You look at the projection for Shota, it's a 116 whip, which is still green on this, which is still better than average. But, dude, the last two seasons for Shota, 102 and a .99 whip. And he does it, that helps so much. Yes, he's got some home run issues. Like, yes, that's going to hurt the ERA, but it was still a 3.73 ERA last year. Like, I don't know, man. Velocity was down, but still missed 12.5% swing strike rate. So that he still missed bats. Like, I think this is quite honestly a perfect SP4 if you take, we talked like last time about like your high whip SP1 or twos, like your relatively high whip, like your Logan Webbs. Draft we're currently in, I took Logan Webb, and then my SP4 is Shota, just to kind of neutralize that whip. Whip is a lot less noisy than ERA is. There's just a lot fewer external factors that go into whip than do ERA, and that's my biggest reasoning to take Shota, honestly.
I like it. I have nothing wrong with Shota. I guess the only, if I have to throw any stone, it's the strikeouts. He's got to get that back up. Like that's my biggest, peeve. But the whip is ridiculous, because as you can tell by the projections, and if you actually dig in on most of these guys, most of them have some pretty rough up and down, or at least just overall whip problems as they go on. That's why I draft a lot of these guys. Yeah. So Trevor Rogers, we back in.
I think so. I mean, of course, not to the extent we saw in the second half, but I do think Baltimore unlocked at least some version of that 2021 version of Trevor Rogers. I think the most encouraging sign by far was the velocity came back, right? At least somewhat. Wasn't back to 94.6, which was Trevor Rogers' average fastball velo in his breakout season in 21, but it got back up to 93 from like 91.5. Towards the end of his Marlins days, and was able to do so with, you know, over 142 combined innings in the minors and majors last year. So Trevor Rogers, like, I think he's just a suitable SP4. I think he's fairly priced here. I don't think it's a bad pick. I don't think it's a huge breakout, though. Who knows? Maybe Trevor Rogers and the Orioles have figured something out in that second half that the skills won't capture. So maybe there is some ceiling from this, but I think Trevor Rogers is fine at pick 170. I have no problem with it.
Yep. I have a couple shares of Trevor, so no problem with him either. I'm still going to always be a Tanner Bibee believer.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I just don't know what to do. Like, what the hell?
I know. I'm not aggressively pursuing him, but I'm a believer. Believer and drafter are two different things, by the way, right now.
It kind of makes it sound like you're not a believer.
I'm not opposed to drafting him, but he's not a priority for me, if that makes sense. Like, I was going to go somewhere else. We're going to leave that alone. But the thing with Bibee, which is so frustrating, because, like, if you just go through his months last year, I'm not going to read them all out, but, like, the first few months, he was doing pretty good. They're like, okay, we're going to survive with Tanner Bibee. We can live with this. Then his July and August just gets absolutely torched. It was, it's like, over 6 ERAs both months, just terrific. People dropping him, end of the world stuff. Final month of the year, 1.3 ERA. He walked less than 5%. He was striking out almost 26%. Like, it was back to being this dude. And that's what's so annoying about Tanner Bibee. That's the nicest way I can say it, is he has some really, really good skills. Maybe he's better left to be a streamer or a fifth or sixth starter on your roster than a fourth. And he's going around the fourth world, which is the problem. But I think there's still a very good skill set there. I've said it since I wrote about him a couple years ago. He has a good pitch mix. Two of his pitches are not good. Two of them are really good. He still focuses on the not good ones too much. That's the problem with that. They have to get in there and actually utilize his pitch mix, and they don't. He relies on locating on the corners like Bieber did. Bieber could do it. Bibee can't consistently. That's the problem with Tanner Bibee. Yeah, I just want to throw out there. I think he could still be good, but it is a roller coaster of emotions with Tanner Bibee.
Yeah, I'm not doing Bibee this year. I mean, the problem with those two pitches, and I agree, two good pitches, two bad pitches. The problem with the two bad pitches is they're fastballs.
Yeah, and he uses
you can't just throw slider curveball all the time, though. Like, I mean, you have to throw a fastball.
And that's why he tries to locate it, and if he doesn't.
Fastball is truly awful. Like,
yeah,
one bad. Of the worst fastballs in the majors, both of them. And I just, I can't. I'm not
trying. No, I get it. I get it. I just want to at least give him some love, even though he probably doesn't deserve it at this point. But like how you can't quit Eovaldi, who has had his ups and downs throughout his career
I just quit him.
Well, but it took you till he's 36. Tanner Bibee still in his 20s.
With one arm, with one detached shoulder.
yeah. You waited until, you know, you rock him, sock him, roboted him, and then you freaking.
That's right. Use him up and then ship him off.
Jesus. But yeah. So I just wanted to give Bibee his love, even though I probably shouldn't have. But Edward Cabrera, I do. If you want an upside guy, that's like Edward Cabrera's got a skill set that's very good through 137 innings last year. Walks has always been his issue, but we saw a 3.5 ERA last year with Edward Cabrera, 17.6% K to walk, his 8.3% walk, lowest of his career. So we saw the most innings pitched, the lowest ERA of his career. Whip was 1.23, which you'd like to see lower, but we got a guy that can rack up strikeouts. He's just filthy. Going to the south side there at Wrigley. Like there's a big ceiling play with Cabrera. There's always the back of your mind injury concerns, but there is a lot to like with Edward Cabrera if you want to take a chance at 186.
Yeah, I mean, the bugaboo has always been injury and control for Edward Cabrera, and truly made some really nice control gains last year. Walk rate down to 8%, which is league average. Previously had been like 12 to 14% for Cabrera. And the nice thing was, A, it improved in the second half. It was a 6% walk rate in the second half, which is actually really good. And B, it was supported by ball rate. Ball rate and walk rate are very closely correlated. And anytime I see an improvement or the other way around in walk rate, I want to check the ball rate to see if that changed. In Cabrera's case, they both improved quite a bit. So I like that elbow injury in September. You don't like that, but do you take the Cubs at their word and the medicals checked out and that's why they acquired him? Who knows? But that's the risk with Cabrera. But I agree. I think a pretty good ceiling for pick 186. Certainly more than Shane Bieber, who I'm not touching right now.
Yeah, I'm not touching Shane Bieber at all. I'm out fully on that one. All right, 56 through 60 to wrap this bad boy up, 188 to 202. Mackenzie Gore in his new home in Tejas. Shane Boz, who's everybody's sleeper favorite. Cade Horton, the number one pitcher on the Play Raider in the second half, overachieved according to some. Aaron Nola. And Carlos Rodon. So, Ryan, the floor is yours to do whatever you want with Aaron Nola. I'm going to get some Tang. Yeah.
Get me some, too. I might need it after this. Does Tang, like, hydrate you? Like, are there nutritional benefits to Tang?
I think there's something, like, it's a wannabe Gatorade type
deal. It's got to be, if they use it in space.
It's more importantly, it's, like, easy to, without gravity, like, to make it. In space, there's something with the powder and the mix. Yeah, they had some process that made sense for astronauts.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be bad for you if they're giving it to astronauts.
Oh, no, definitely not. Not in our government.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let's continue on. Of this group, Gore, Boz, Cade Horton, Nola, Rodon, I think if you're going for ceiling play, it's Shane Boz.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we've both been on Shane Boz pretty much all draft season. I did have Shane Boz's baseball forecaster box. So I was on this back in October, listed three, I think, pretty compelling reasons why Shane Boz is going to be really good this year. And I threw an upside projection of a 3.25 ERA for Shane Boz in 2026. Again, that's if everything breaks right and everything. That's not my expectation. But I just think Shane Boz is really damn good. I'm kind of neutral on the trade to Baltimore. Like, I was looking forward to him going back to the Trop, but whatever. It's fine. So I think Boz has the highest ceiling of this group.
Yeah, Boz was my breakout or sleeper, whatever it was, on the pitching panel that you hosted at FPAS.
That's right. Yes.
So I was on that same page. I hadn't read I didn't know Ryan wrote that yet at that point in time.
Correct.
So
there was no forecaster then.
Yes, we're pretty much, I guess, on the same page. And what we saw with Shane Boz, you mentioned Pepiot's home run problems in Steinbrenner. Shane Boz, whew.
Yeah, I actually put this in the forecaster box. It was a 19% homer to fly ball rate at home. Yeah. That is horrifically brutal, and I would argue unlucky and a byproduct of his park. Yes. League average homer to fly was like 11.5 last year. Boz at home was 19%. That's going to kill your ERA.
Again, another former top prospect, finally healthy, finally put some innings in this year. Like, next year should be his first like really full season, if that makes sense. So yeah, at 190, I'm still surprised he's going that late. I thought more people would be moving that train up. Oh, Mackenzie Gore, so good, but that whip destroys everything around it. It's like it's just not good. It's the best way I can put it. Like, I think the skills are elite with Mackenzie Gore. He's going to be the SP3 in Texas, so he won't be the ace, which maybe benefits him a little bit. We'll see. But I like Gore. Again, another ceiling-type play. I'd rather probably take Edward Cabrera, but at least Gore's proved he can throw the innings. It's just a matter of, can he get it together? So I do like Gore, but I don't know if the whip's ever going to get better.
I don't think it will. Like, maybe slightly, but I think it's always going to be a liability. So it's just something you have to consider. Look at the rest of your first three starters. And yeah, man, we got people coming back. So you gotta wait that out. All right, man. We're just laughing at Papa Bloom. He just got home. Apparently it's 10 o'clock local. Don't know where he's coming home from, but he says, I drank a lot of Tang as a kid, and look what it did for me. So
I don't know, man.
There's just a lot of ways I could.
Yeah, that's why I'm laughing. That's why I'm laughing.
We could go with it, but we'll leave that one there.
Why don't you talk about Aaron Nola?
Yeah, let's do Aaron Nola.
Let's do it.
So like, I don't know, man. Everyone gives me crap for Aaron Nola, and I whatever. It's a bit. That's fine. Obviously, like, truly an awful season last year for Aaron Nola.
Is it fine? It seems like it's bothering you.
It's fine, because I still go back. I still go back to the well. I mean, just a 6 ERA, just truly horrendous. The volume wasn't there. It was an ankle rib type injury. But I'm just going to say this every time. The skills are – this is odd. You're even your Nola. I don't think that's a thing. But, like, for all the variance above the surface, Aaron Nola is damn solid. When you look at the strikeouts, the whiffs, that's the ball rate, that all stays pretty steady from year to year. The only like slight thing I would have concern on is the velocity drop to 91.5 last year. It was 92.5 for most of his career, but Aaron Nola in the second half, the velocity came back up to 92. So I just think this is a brutally unlucky season for Aaron Nola. He's pitching on a great team. I think the volume's going to be there. He's still 33. He's not like super old yet. I just think this is like a super high floor SP4. People are gonna make fun of me for it, but I'm gonna trust the skills and the track record here and buy Aaron Nola at pick 200 coming off the worst season of his career. That was pretty majorly bad luck fueled. So that's my spiel.
That's fair. I'm not gonna, like, at this ADP, I'm not gonna knock it by any means, but if I'm not going back to Mackenzie Gore, I'm not going to Aaron Nola either at this point in time. Like, I'd rather Shane Boz, or I'm going to throw this one out there.
But, dude, like, before last year, Nola hadn't So from 21 through 2024, never had a whip over 1.2. I mean, that's so much better than Mackenzie Gore. And like the same number of strikeouts. I don't think.
I said if I'm not going to Mackenzie Gore, I'm not going to Aaron Nola here either. But yes.
Nola's better than Gore, man. I think.
Nola's good. I give you a hard time about him.
All right.
But I'm worried that he's breaking down at the same time. He is old. And we saw the injuries. We saw the velo drop you mentioned. We didn't see that with Gore. So I am concerned about the age with Nola. And this is where I really flip things on its head. If I'm going to go with the guy that's, you know, maybe some concerns involved, at 202, I don't mind Carlos.
No, get out of here.
Because this is a guy I was all in on last year, and it worked out really well. He had his 309 ERA. He had 18 wins, 203 strikeouts. I made my case for him last year. It worked. He's probably going to miss the first month to 2 months of the season. So keep that in mind.
Coming off of elbow surgery.
Yes, but I'm going to say the elbow surgery
I know,
was to clean bodies. Bone spurs, which we've proven, like guys have come back from that time and time again. It's not like, he had the brace procedure and he's done.
Correct. Fair like, distinction. Yeah.
So if Rodon is actually, if it was just bone spurs, which it seems it was, I'm actually quite intrigued by this. If you can find a way to stash Carlos Rodon at 202 and get 4 months of Carlos Rodon, I think there, because as we go farther, when we talk Tuesday show, I'd rather stash Carlos Rodon for a month or two than a lot of the guys coming up.
So you're going to take the Rodon's an old as well. He's 33 coming off elbow surgery. You're going to take that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I am.
Yeah.
We're going to have a Nola versus Rodon bet at some point.
Yeah, actually right now. Let's do that.
We're not going to play Raider, though, because one might have 6 months and one might have four. I'd rather do actually.
I mean, but that's part of the deal. We know Rodon's going to miss 2 months, and you're saying draft him anyway and stash him for 2 months?
Yeah.
That's tough, man. That's tough.
Yeah.
Rodon, so, Nola, full season player Raider. But they're the same ADP.
Fine, screw it. Go. Type it in.
It's in.
Type it in. I so can't wait to win this one because, yeah, it'll make up for that Robbie Ray one I lost last year when Eduardo Rodriguez term, or who was it? It was Nestor Cortez.
No, it was Nestor Cortez. Innings pitched, Cortez versus Robbie Ray. Cortez lasted like one start.
Yeah. That one was over before it started.
Yeah.
All right. At least this one. Rodon has to make a start, though. If there's a setback, he doesn't pitch.
I'll say Rodon has to make one start. You sound real confident in this bet.
Oh, I do. I feel really confident. He's going to smoke Noah. It's going to be great. Giving you a 2 month head start, old man.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anything else on this little pocket? Are you ready for some listener questions?
Let's do the listener. Just real quick, Cade Horton, I think properly priced. I just a little bit better in the second half. I'll give him that, but. Just this screams just regression. And this is why the market is so sharp. The number one starting pitcher in the second half last year is going at pick 200.
Well, it's so sharp. The number one pitcher at 200 and are at 197, and the number two is at 171.
Yeah.
Like in years past, Rodgers and Horton are probably close to like 100 to 120.
Yeah.
Just off of perception. Yeah. So, yep. All right. From the YouTube here, Kevin Hastings says, late question for the end. If you gone really hitter heavy, maybe a closer or two, who on the right side of the board is your SP3?
This is kind of
just something I do, so good question.
Yeah, this is where Bubba typically finds himself in drafting an SP4 as an SP3, but I would go Luis Castillo, Ranger Suarez, or Shota. I think if you're behind on pitching like this, you need to go for someone with a higher floor in this situation, where if I'm good on early pitching, I want to take a shot. Maybe I go for a more upside like a Boz or Edward Cabrera or something like that. So those would be the three that I would pick.
Yeah, Ranger would be my priority here if I had to get to one of these as my SP3. And then I'd come back quickly with a Cabrera or a Boz, most likely. Like I'd make sure I'd get one of those two to really give me some upside since I waited so long. Don't like floor is one thing, but if you wait so long, you're going to need some upside to make up for the miss. That's the way I look at it. And when you do that, it's usually when you find yourself in even more trouble. So take advice from me when it comes to pitching all day long. All right, to the Discord. Brendan says, do you see Lodolo taking another step forward based on his second half? So, yes, I believe you said yes. Yeah.
Favorite SP3 buy. Yep.
Double dipping. Schlittler has a great facile, but nothing else stood out. Is everyone too high on him? I think it's fair.
And honestly, like, with pitch mix stuff, like, yeah, I look at changes in pitch mix, and like, if there's a change in skill with a change in pitch mix, I'm interested, like with the Gavin Williams example. But like, if your skills are good, honestly, I don't really care what your pitch mix is. Like, we saw that with when Strider was good, kind of a two pitch type guy. If you're strikeout minus walk and everything checks out and looks good, and you're missing bats and throwing strikes, I don't care if you throw underhand. That doesn't matter to me.
Agreed. Completely agree. SMK Teach says, Robbie Ray was my points league superhero last year. Why is he projecting for such a big regression in ERA, or was last year an anomaly? Ryan's probably got better statistical analysis.
No, I mean, but you watched him, so.
I was like, for someone that watched every start, it was painful. And more often than not, if he didn't have command, he barely got the five innings. And so that didn't help your points league. What helped you was he had a ton of strikeouts, which was great. So when he was good, he was really, really good. But if he was off at all, it was disastrous. And I was waiting for him to break at any moment of time because he pitched and he sounded like, as Michael C. said earlier today, like someone playing in the Aussie Open tennis finals. It was rough watching Robbie Ray pitch at times. Like, there's some really great starts, but as the season went along,
yeah,
it got ugly.
That's that bores out. So I'll take the analytics side of this is, yep. The K rate dropped 7 points from first to second half, from 28%, which is really good, to 21% in the second half, which is below average. Whiff rate went down accordingly. You could argue, two sides to that. This is the first season back for full season back for Robbie Ray. Maybe he was just worn out and needs a reset. You could also argue age 34. Kind of fell apart in the second half. Doesn't really give you the warm and fuzzies for a rebound either. So I'm kind of just neutral on Robbie Ray at 155.
No, that's fair. Good point on the first full year back. Adam W. says, a guy like Trevor Rogers feels like such a hole in projection models. Obviously, no one expects him to get near his bottom line numbers, but do you think he can get to the estimators, basically mid-threes ERA? That's interesting.
Yeah, I've got Rodgers. Again, I do all these projections myself. I've got Rodgers for a 370 ERA and a 125 whip. So nothing that stands out, but nothing bad. I think a lot of the projection models, I want to speak for all of them, I don't know the secret sauce on how a lot of these work, probably aren't looking as far back as Trevor Rodgers' breakout 2021 season that we know is in there somewhere. I don't think projections are factoring that in. They're probably factoring in the horrendous version of Trevor Rogers, which has been the last like 3 years.
Agreed. And that's what makes it tough to give him like a second half projection kind of for this season type deal. So it's going to be a little skewed. So I think it's probably somewhere in the middle to what Adam wanted and what the projections say. So kind of where you're at makes a ton of sense to me. Cause I do think he's improved. Like, I think we can agree to that. Not to what level can he do that for a full season. I think we all agree it's going to be like prove it to me type thing. But even if it's improved where you're projecting, not a bad pitcher in that range.
Yep.
Corbin, our buddy Corbin Young, says, I got to get this. He's like, I got to get my question in. Why does Ryan hate Chris Bubich and Mitch Keller? Well, Corbin, wait till Tuesday's show because I'm pretty sure he'll be on the list.
I actually don't mind Bubich, but we'll cover that in part three.
I'll defend Mitch Keller for you, Corbin. Sean Chard says, and Sean Chard is in the beat, the Bloom OC, by the way.
Yes, he is. Was last year, too.
Yep. Which of the young guns, Schlitt, Miz, Bubba, Chandler, for those keeping track at home, Trey Savage, will be top 15 SPs as your top 15? I'd say Bubba, if any of them.
Yeah, it's funny. I would, if I had to pick one, I would pick Bubba. Even though I said I like Schlitt more for 2020, I think Schlitt has a little bit safer pick. Like, it could fall apart for Bubba or just not materialize like it didn't last year. So, but I think in terms of ceiling, Bubba Chandler, I could see him being a top 15 pitcher this year. Yes.
He's the hype train, and it's maybe too high. Is like, he's their like Skeens part two type situation. So like,
but like, it's not all, really factored in the draft price though. He's the same price as Savage. He's cheaper than Miz, Schittler, and Chase Burns. Like, I don't know.
I agree.
It's not crazy.
I think That's why I'm kind of tempted to get really excited about him and be totally disappointed. Most guys named Bubba will do that to you. SMMS79, unrelated to this group, general pitching question. Any concern about pitchers going to the WBC or too deep down the rabbit hole? If you ask Dr. Dave, you're screwed.
Yeah, I guess that made some rounds on Twitter, X, the everything app. There's only been four WBCs.
The king came out today and put some stuff out there from the Washington Post and other places that said there's no proven that there's no proven evidence. Yes. Let me find it exactly for you to properly quote Washington the king, Post. King Kurland.
Do we really need to quote King Kurland on the show?
Oh yes, because he doesn't have a tracker anywhere. That's TJ Stats. So we need to give this to Kurland while we can. Yeah, he's got MLB has compiled injury data for the first four WBC iterations. According to the official, the data aren't public, but it's also in the best interest. There's no correlation between being hurt and playing in the WBC. A Washington University study has proven that it does not factor in at all. There's other stuff as well. So, yeah, he's the king has spoken, is what I would say. Source, sports.yahoo, The Ringer, and MLB.com was where these articles were.
Okay, not Washington. But the king has spoken.
He took them out of those, is what I'm saying.
The king has spoken. Listen at your own risk.
Exactly. Do with that as you wish. All right. Britton Allen says, Gavin Williams took a step forward last year. 167 innings, 173 Ks, 306 ERA, and 12's win. Y'all buying in? I am.
Slightly. I mean, not. I've got Gavin Williams for a 370, 375 ERA. So not a 3 ERA. I don't think he's that good.
No.
But yeah, we talked about him like the second half games with the sinker usage.
I think the strikeouts are legit.
Yep.
So, but yeah, the ERA, he's probably more Trevor Rogers. That's where that checks out for me. Steve Brunn, favorite at cost from 31 to 60, as many of them are interchangeable. Who's most likely to finish in the top 12? So who's your favorite on this entire board?
On this entire board,
probably Lodolo for you.
Yeah, Lodolo, and then late safety Shota, Luis Castillo as well.
Yeah, this is interesting. Favorite on this board, I'd probably say
Rodon. That's a
good question. What'd you say,
Rodon?
No. there's one that says potential top 12. I'm going to stick with the Bubba Chandler hype. If there could be a top 12 pitcher, it'd be Bubba Chandler.
I didn't realize you were that in on Chandler. I didn't know I was either, honestly. But
I'm very excited about it. Like, if you want to take upside plays, I think that's a tremendous upside play. And then I guess I'll stick with him as my favorite. But there's a lot of guys. Like, I like more than I think people might like on this board. I think I have to, the way I draft, I have to learn to accept this board.
Yeah.
Adam Brunson says, team building question. Any of these 117 to 146 ADP guys worth it over potentially not getting your third outfielder? By then, see me watch the outfield primers. So he's been watching those. So 117 to 146 would be 31 through 40. Any reason to skip them and get your third outfielder?
No, because from what I recall on the outfield episode is I really liked the pocket from 170 to 200 for outfield, and maybe that was for outfield 4, but I could even see getting two of those guys. So, and that's kind of what I'm doing in drafts is I'm taking again, that Sonny Gray, Lodolo, Pepio, whatever at roughly pick 120 instead of my third outfielder. Cause I do think you have a few more rounds of pretty good outfielders before that outfield cliff at roughly pick 200.
And there's 31 through 40 area. There's probably 6 or 7 guys here that you could really use as an SP3 compared to, trust me, from experience, the other options at SP3.
Yeah. So, and thanks for listening, Adam, to the outfield primers. Of course.
Appreciate it. The Python Hunter, Dustin Anderson. I'm in on Eovaldi this year. Should I be?
Ooh, damn.
Go hunting.
Typically want to be on the side of a skilled Python hunter. It's usually someone you want to have
in your corner.
But I laid out the case for Nate earlier this show, so I can't do it. Can't do it, right, at least as of now, until we see him this spring.
Oh, this is good. DeSoa says, who pitches the most innings in each pair below? Or in other words, who from each pair are you most confident to get full or close to full workload?
Okay.
Michael King versus Pablo Lopez.
Wow.
These are good ones. Like, this is a good list here.
I will say Michael King.
Yeah, that's... I'm going to say Pablo Lopez. I don't feel great about it, though, but I'm going to say Pablo. But
Michael
yeah,
King at least came back and injured his knee.
You're probably right.
So I don't know about the quality of King's innings, but I think King will pitch more innings than Pablo.
That's a good one. Drew Rasmussen versus Nate the Great, Eovaldi.
Rasmussen.
Rasmussen, yeah. And then Trevor Rogers versus Edward Cabrera.
Trevor Rogers.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one. I want it to be Cabrera. I really do, because that means he's having a hell of a year probably if he's out pitching Rogers.
Yep.
I want it to be Cabrera, but realistically, Trevor's done it. So that's where I'm at. All right. Mailman Mike says, by the end of this list, how many starters would you prefer to have on your team? Does that change 15 to 12? Probably four, you said. Maybe five.
Yeah, for me, four for in 15 teamers. There's just too much, too many other priorities, other positions. Like, yeah, sure, I'd love to have five of these guys, but by now, but four and probably five and 12 teamers, but you're more the 12 team aficionado.
Yeah, it just depends on your risk tolerance. If like you want some more stability, it's 5 and 12s. If you're willing to take more darts and churn and burn the bottom of your starting pitching pool, you can play the game.
Yeah.
Smokey Joe, do you start thinking about drafting starting pitchers in this range in tandem with your SP 1 and 2?
Yeah. In terms of like, I think the question is more like category wise.
He actually says, for example, if you got a low strikeout guy in SP 1 and 2, yep, do you look for strikeout pitchers? Same with whip or maybe wins? Oh, definitely. 100%.
Yep. 100%. And there are different options in this range that you can go. You can go for, talked about the show to whip, but then there are strikeout guys, Gore, Nola, Robbie Ray, Gavin Williams, Michael
Carlos
King,
Rodon.
Yeah. Well, no, I shouldn't say Rodon. Yeah. Just call him Rod because you're only going to get half of Rodon this year. So all those guys are projected for over 170 strikeouts. So, you can get a case.
Yes. Definitely try to start balancing out your fantasy rotation. There's no doubt about that. And then I think we got Andy Splinter here. Let's play everyone's favorite game. Why take Logan Webb at 60 when you can take Sandy Alcantara or Ranger Suarez at 160?
Innings. Yeah, I mean, Logan Webb's just better. Innings, better ERA, better wins. Like, maybe the whip is the same, but you're going to get more. You're basically better in every category. So sometimes that game applies with my guy, with Logan Webb. That doesn't apply.
Yeah, agreed. All righty. Final thoughts on 31 through 60.
No, it's getting late. I'm going to go snort some Tang and go to sleep.
I will say there's more pitchers in this range that I like, but like I said earlier, it's probably because I've made myself learn to like this range. It's one of those, like, I have to find the bright spot here because I need to start building my staff. And so I have to convince myself there is upside in this range instead of taking the safe way out.
Yeah. Bad nicknames been created.
Yes. It's one of those nights, but it's our Thursdays. Our Thursdays get goofy more often than not. That's just the way it goes. But
just real quick too, TDK mid arms win leagues this year. This has been a thing for me since we started this show. These middle round pitchers, these are the guys that this was in Eovaldi last year. These are the guys. Some of these guys are going to hit, and they are good enough to be SP1, SP2s. It's just which one is that? So if you nail this middle rounds for pitching, man, you are good to go.
Yep. Nope. That's where in the old days, I miss having Freddie Peralta in this range because I've always drafted Freddie. He used to live in this range. It was glorious. But anything fun for the weekend before we head out? You good? You chilling?
I think we're getting a bunch of rain. So,
so not much. Gotcha.
Yeah. So we'll see. Good. We'll see.
Okay, good. Well, all right. We'll wrap it up there. Make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanVHQ. Check us out on PitchCon Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern, by the way. Go check that out.
Yeah.
Follow the podcast on Twitter at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/Bubba Bloom. I'm at BD Intric. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 314. Catch y'all next time. Thank you.